So why are we here, Mike?
I think we're here to start a podcast.
The 562 project last time, and then I remembered they have a photo of the 1491s, which is Sterling Harjo, and it's just like all of them in silhouette, so you don't really get to see their faces, but we looked at that right before the show.
Right.
Pretty, Dallas Goldtooth. Pretty cool. Dallas Goldtooth. Greatest character on TV in history.
In history?
Yeah. He might be pretty close. I don't... It's a good one.
It's one of the most enjoyable ones, that's for sure.
And that, like, he gets to say really profound things while being a complete idiot.
Yeah, and then when he gets serious, you're just like, oh.
Yeah, he's not fucking around.
Yeah, it goes from, it's obvious. When he's saying something profound, you don't have to be confused about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, hey. Welcome to Wes and Mike Waste Time Watching TV, Season 5, Episode 20.
Season 3.
God damn it. Hey, welcome to Wes and Mike Waste Time Watching TV, Season 3, Episode 23.
Yeah, we made it.
I can't keep track of shit.
Who cares anymore?
Life.
They just automatically download. Yeah, people will just listen to whatever. When it comes up, they'll listen.
What's my biography? The life of a fuck-up.
Yeah.
An autobiography.
Yeah. Unless I write it for you.
Life of a fuck-up. A biography. A companion piece.
Written by a complete idiot. Because I... Can you imagine if I wrote a book? Oof, boy. The editor would be like, I don't get paid enough.
Oh, man.
These aren't even words. I'm not sure what you're reading. There seems to be a symbol in the middle of this.
You can't write a whole book in wingdings. You can't write a book just because you like the way the symbols look.
Oh, yeah. I write the entire thing in Comic Sans font.
Anyways, we're on halfway through the final season of Res Dogs.
Yep. We're doing good.
It's been great so far. It's been very good. Kind of everything I hoped for.
Yeah, sometimes they don't live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you do 3 seasons and you have an idea from the beginning, you can probably fulfill that idea.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like when shows have 8 or 9 seasons and they don't know where they're going.
Mm-hmm. Or 27.
Faulty Towers.
27 seasons of Faulty Towers. I don't know how they did it.
Right.
I think The Simpsons.
They have to be repeating things.
Oh, my. So the characters don't get to age. There's no, like, growth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just stuff that happens every episode. And I haven't watched The Simpsons in a long time, but I can't imagine it's very good anymore.
Wouldn't think so. Haven't seen it in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Conan years. That's what I always hear. The Simpsons were, like, The Simpsons high point was the Conan years, which is, like, season 5 through 9 or something like that. Mm.
I don't even know what that means.
Conan O'Brien?
Yeah.
He's the head writer for The Simpsons.
I didn't know that.
Wow, nice. All right, we learned something today.
Okay, we're doing good then.
Next week I'm going to have to come correct that.
It was actually Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, Conan the Barbarian. I just totally misunderstood what somebody was saying. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger in the character of Conan the Barbarian, who was the head writer of The Simpsons, seasons 5 through 9.
Never broke character.
That's why there were so many swords.
A lot of swords, yeah.
Can't believe we went to that at the exact same time.
All right.
So,
you want to correct anything?
No. So I don't think I have any corrections, but some clarifications.
Okay.
So a couple episodes ago, we were talking about the statue thing in New Mexico, and I was like, the guy's name begins with O, and I couldn't remember. It's Oñate, was the guy who cut off all the feet of the young men of the Acoma Pueblo.
Oñate. Yeah, that we should have known that.
Yeah. I should.
Very common name.
I went to a college where one of the halls was called Oñate Hall. How great is that?
Not great.
Not great.
That is minus great.
So there was a Pueblo revolt in 1680 where 400 Spaniards were killed and 2,000 settlers were driven out of the province of Santa Fe de Nuevo México. And the Spaniards reconquered New Mexico 12 years later, and Oñate led that reconquering. And then that's when they cut off the feet of the men for rebelling against the Spaniards. So a bunch of conquistadores and a bunch of priests were part of this. So that's pretty cool.
Religion's great.
Catholic, whoever said the Catholic Church did anything bad.
At least they weren't diddling kids while they were doing it.
Well, they probably were. Just
Native American. During the actual acts of violence.
Well, Native American kids, I'm probably,
Probably.
Yeah, probably marrying off 11-year-olds to, to...
I spoke too soon.
We'll do some corrections on that.
Don't get yourself in trouble looking that one up.
Oh, man, jeez. But anyway, so we're talking about, we made the comparison to the statue issue in the South and the Confederate statues. And then I was talking about somebody cutting off the foot of the Oñate statue.
Uh-huh.
And that was in 1997. Oh. Somebody did that. So New Mexico, like they were decades ahead of the old Confederates.
Still like that?
I think so. Well, they took the statue down eventually.
Oh, okay.
So are you ready for this? So they were, last week, they were going to rededicate the Oñate statue, and there was people there who were protesting it, but they were just praying. Some dude came up, interrupted the protest, and shot somebody.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it's still very serious there. The Hispanics of New Mexico see themselves as Spanish. And any challenge to that is seen as a challenge to their culture. So when Native Americans are we need to deal with this history, the Hispanics of New Mexico are fuck off. They're basically the Confederates of the South in some way.
Real mind bender.
Yeah.
It's another shot.
Yeah, New Mexico is a very confusing place sometimes. Yeah, just things don't break down the way that you would expect them to, or the way they do in other places.
Wild.
Yeah. So I went to look up the information on the statue of Oñate, and it's man shot at a rededication of the statue, and it was 1 hour ago. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense because, you'll see when it was posted. Mm-hmm. 1 hour ago, what does that mean? And then looked it up, and sure enough, there's video of the guy, kind of going into the crowd, and the crowd was, trying to tackle him. And he just, jumped a fence and pulled a gun out of his fucking waistband and just shot and then ran off. New Mexico's a crazy place.
I guess so.
And just culturally so complicated. I think we've talked about this before, but... So there's a line in New Mexico where if your family was from north of that line, and it's pretty much right where I grew up or very close to where I grew up. So if you're from north of that line, you were Hispanic, and nobody ever better call you a Mexican. Because if you're from north of that line and they call you Mexican, that's like a slur. And if you're from south of that line, then people are pretty comfortable being Mexican, Hispanic, Chicano or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, the people of the mountains of northern New Mexico are Hispanic, meaning they're Spanish.
Spanish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
So Mexican is often means there's intermixing with the native population.
Oh.
And so the Hispanics of northern New Mexico were we did not mix. We are pure blood Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Even though they're probably not.
Right.
But the idea of themselves are as pure blood Spanish.
It's a real mind bender.
Yeah. Racism doesn't look in New Mexico quite the same as it does in other places.
I guess not.
I probably got some of that wrong, but I'm close enough to be comfortable with it.
Yeah. Somebody will check us.
If I was wrong, please tell me, because I'm probably not going to look it up. Oh, yeah, and then we were talking about the James Webb telescope a couple episodes ago when they were looking at the sky. And Maximus was what we're seeing,
Turn your back to the future.
Yeah, turn your back to the future if you want to see where we are. And so, the idea that the light that's reaching us from basically the Big Bang for 4.5 billion years ago, that light's now just getting to us. So when the James Webb telescope is looking towards the very outer reaches of space. Yeah, I wrote it down. So the very first image that the James Webb telescope sent back was in July of last year, July of 2022. It showed the galaxy cluster SMACS 0723 as it was 4.6 billion years ago.
Oh, yeah, SMAS 0732.
I mean, it's not the best galaxy, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close to being up there. I mean, 077 or 0720. That's a sweet galaxy.
That's, yeah, it looks like a Hush with JoJo's on it.
Did you say a Hush well with two glistening acorns?
The JoJo's.
Oh, JoJo's, yeah. Or glistening acorns.
Yeah. Can I have both?
But yeah, just this is another mind bender that like you're looking at something that's 4 billion years old, but you're looking at it in the present as if it's happening right now.
And yeah, doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I'm too dumb to understand that stuff.
Oh, stop. All right, that's all I got for fictions. Right.
This is Reservation Dog Season 3, Episode 5. It's called House Made of Bongs.
Yes. I really thought we were going to get the head shop again. That's what I thought we were going to get. We're not going to get the head shop.
This is fun. We get to go back in time, probably about 1976.
And how do we know we think it's 1976, give or take?
Because they played Thin Lizzy song called Jailbreak that came out in 1976.
Yeah. Sweet.
And it definitely looks like it's pre-80s.
Yeah. Lots of bell bottoms.
Bell bottoms, big cars, mm-hmm. muscle cars.
Flowery shirts with big collars.
Yeah. So we're back in time, and we're basically hanging out with the community's elders when they were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to... Who do we meet in this one? We meet Irene.
Mm-hmm. Brownie.
Brownie.
Bucky.
Bucky.
Mabel.
Mabel.
Maximus.
Maximus.
Fixico.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the big ones.
I think that's it, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some other characters, but...
Right.
But those are the ones that we also know in the present day.
Right. So we see this old 70s style car driving up to a high school parking lot, and there's a bunch of kids walking around like they're dressed in the 70s. Irene, who is Cheese's grandma.
Mm-hmm. She's very hip.
Yeah. She's wearing like round kind of blue tinted glasses.
Yeah, what are they? Reflective eyeglasses.
Yeah. And she's yelling at... She's complaining to Brownie that he needs to fix his car door. And it's funny because, like, they make their voices sound like their current voices.
Oh, man. The young guy who plays Brownie was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, he talked exactly like him.
Yeah.
That was such a good casting.
Yep. So he can't get out, and he's like, I'm opening it. Hang on. And then so they all get out, and he's like, go learn some shit. So he's not going into school, but they all are.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're walking in, I notice that Mabel's wearing a T-shirt that says St. Nicholas Chieftains.
Mm.
And I noticed, well, I did some research. I looked into it. And Dear Lady went to a St. Nicholas Indian training school. So I think that basically the school used to be where she was at. Mm. It's evolved into like a school.
So I forgot to put this in my notes, but I looked up. So we talked about the... there's a street in Albuquerque called Indian School. And so, so I was like, where did that name come from? So there was a Indian school run by the BIA from 1881 to 1981. Well, it was run by the BIA until 77. And then a Pueblo community group took over the school. And then it closed in 81. But Indian School, the street Indian School basically like intersected with 12th. Mm. And that's just like a mile from my mom's house.
Wow.
So
still there.
So the Wikipedia page I read said the buildings all burned down at various times. So people were just like burning the buildings down because it got abandoned after 81, I think. And so just eventually all the buildings burned down except one. But now it's the site of the Pueblo Cultural Center. So they have like an art museum. They have like a powwow grounds, they have a restaurant, and that whole area is owned by the Pueblo, that same Pueblo community group. Mm. But they have there's a Starbucks on the site now, and we went there for Christmas last year. Did I ever send you pictures of the Native American art skateboards?
Yep.
That's where that was. Oh, was neat. At the Pueblo Cultural Center.
Nice.
Yeah.
So now we're in a classroom, and young Bucky sticks his head in the door, and he says, "Frankfurter sandwiches, Frankfurter sandwiches." So he must be selling? I'm not sure.
I wonder if that was like a joke or something that was going around back then. I think then.
One of the next episodes is called Frankfurter Sandwiches. And the teacher, he's like, "Hey, Bucky, kick rocks, man." And so the teacher's up front, and he's like this jockish-looking guy. He's like he's wearing those bike coach shorts, uh-huh. And he's got like the shirt tucked into it with a collar.
Yeah, it's like a base, like a mid sleeve baseball jersey, right. Almost or yeah. Something.
And he's wearing a hat on top of his head, like kind of a tall trucker uh-huh. hat.
He has two braids.
Yeah, but he's like real like straight laced dude. Mm-hmm. And
I had to keep looking because I kept thinking it was Big. I kept thinking it was the same actor who played Big. I don't think it was.
No, though, I don't think so.
But he sure did look a lot like Big, though.
Yeah. Did you notice? So the teachers are giving the kids a lecture. It's the last day of school. And on the board it says, like, "Don't be a shit ass" or something. Yes. He's like, "All right, get out of here. All right, everyone. When you all get released for the summer, don't be a bunch of shit asses, all right? Know you're going to be out there partying around, drinking, whoring, fornicating, glistening, engorging."
Oh, engorging. What a word choice that is.
Try to keep your heads on straight. And like Maximus, young Maximus is sitting next to some other kid. And they're both looking at each other like, duh. He goes, he's like, "Now get the hell out of here." And he's like, "One more thing. Make sure you take your shit from your dorm and your locker by 4 p.m. Except for those of you that are staying here for the summer." And everyone leaves except for Maximus. He's there. And the teacher goes, "Hey, Maximus." And Maximus says, "Chaban." He goes, "Oh, right, yeah, Chaban." So apparently Maximus wanted to be called Chaban mm-hmm. back then. He's like, "You going to be sticking around for the summer and staying in the dorm with us?" And he says, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, if you get bored, just hit me up." So he's like a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Hit me up. We can go out and play some ball or something. I'm just going to be hanging around here getting fat anyway." Maximus is like, "Yeah, that sounds good." And they kind of give each other a handshake. And now Maximus is walking down the hallway with an 8mm camera and he's filming stuff, and he goes, "Welcome to the Chaban show, and what we have here is the dying days of my junior year and the seniors enjoying their final hours of being top dog." And he kind of zooms in on a group of seniors and he goes, "Say hi everyone, and congratulations," and they all kind of wave at him. And he goes, "And if it isn't Jimmy, my favorite super senior of the world," so that's the guy he was sitting next to in the class, he goes, "That guy right there, he's the man. He gave me some food one time." And then it goes up to Irene and Mabel, and he goes, "And if it isn't my favorite asshole in moccasins," to Irene, he goes, "I salute you. And how about you, my dear Mabel? Did you storm any Capitol steps today or burn any flags? What's the deal? Tell me about it. I'm really zoomed in." And he goes, "I'm really zoomed in on your face right now." Irene's like, "We burned something." So, I mean, weed.
Yeah.
And then she tells him to turn it off. She's like, "Turn that off. Brownie's waiting for us." And he's like, "You guys are boring." And then Irene goes, "Did you get it?" And he goes, "What?" She goes, "The tabs, the window pane." He's like, "Ah, shit, I forgot." Mabel's like, "You have one job." That's funny because, like, "You had one job" is like sort of a modern day meme. Right. "You had one job." He's like, "I'll get it." He's like, "I'll catch up with you guys in a second. Just have a little faith. I'll get us a window pane." Chaban out. So I was confused. I assumed window pane was acid, but I was confused to make sure.
I've never heard that term.
So I looked up some term for acid, some terms. Lucy, blotter, battery acid, California sunshine, orange sunshine, electric Kool-Aid, window pane, and dots.
Huh. I've heard of maybe a third of those.
I don't know if I've heard any of them. Lucy, I suppose.
Do you ever hear that book, The Electric Kool-Aid Test?
Uh-huh.
It was about the merry pranksters up in Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah. I'm not going to remember his name, but he just basically had a commune.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Grateful Dead would always visit it, and Timothy Leary would come, and they just had this giant bus, and they would just, like, travel the country and just do acid and go to shows and spread the gospel of psychedelics.
Mm. I know Lucy because, you know, that Beatles song.
Oh, yeah, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, yeah. Oh, good one, yeah.
Yeah. Now they're behind the school, or we're behind the school, and there's like three kids sitting around rolling joints and stuff. And Maximus, by the way, the kid playing Maximus, he's got such great charisma.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to just see an entire show with like these kids and
stuff. Yeah, and he's a good looking guy. The casting in this episode was so amazing, I thought.
Oh, yeah, the girl who played Irene looked like young Irene. She looked like Irene. It was wild.
The guy playing Brownie did not look like Brownie, but, man, he sounded exactly like him.
Yeah. He goes back there with his camera rolling, and he's like, here we see Indian Country's answer to the Three Stooges, Limpy, Shrimpy, and Pimply. What's up, degenerates? One of the guys is like, quit it, narc. He's probably filming for the cops. And he's like, hey, me and my crew are looking to get some window pane. You guys got any? And one of the guys is like, check with your cousin. Maybe he has some. And the girl goes, yeah, Fix goes, always got some. Maximus goes, damn medicine man, no. And so you get the first indication that Maximus and Fix go are cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And Maximus doesn't want to talk to him about it. So now we're in a dorm room, and Maximus is reading a book, and Bucky comes walking in, young Bucky, and he's like, you guys all still fighting over Mabel? And Maximus goes, we're not fighting over Mabel. They broke up. And then Bucky goes, yeah, family ain't supposed to hold grudges. You sure? And he goes, you sure you don't want to come to my house for the summer? I know you love my mom's fried pies. And Maximus is like, I just don't want to be a burden to anybody. Maximus is like, I got tons of movies to watch and books to read, so he's like, I'll be fine. And then Bucky says, you should make it good with Fixico. And Maximus is like, why does everybody care if we're good? Bucky goes, because he's your cousin and you shouldn't stay mad. And Maximus is like, yeah, I'm good. And then he kind of gets mad. And Bucky's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And he goes, and Maximus is like, no, you're just trying to help. He's like, I'm good. I'm going to read a lot. So, and then Bucky says, add this to the stack, and he gives him a book called Mirrors Made of the Millennia. So I looked that up. I couldn't find it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's not a real book or what.
Huh.
I couldn't find it anywhere.
That's fun that they just get to make up a title of a book and that only Bucky would be reading.
Right. Yeah.
Something about quantum physics, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, because this comes up later.
Yeah, he talks about Heisenberg.
Yes.
Now we're in the parking lot at Brownie's car, and the teacher comes up to Brownie, and he's like, hey, you still running around being a shit-ass? So it's the same teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Brownie's like, you know how it is, rocking, rolling.
Oh, I love this guy so much.
Yeah. The teacher goes, you know, man, you really could have been something. You weren't a bad tackle. And Brownie just kind of looks at him and goes, yeah, well, football and school, it just isn't for me, coach. Too many rules. And the teacher goes, hell, man, you know how much freedom you have right now? You're young. There are no rules. Shit, wait till you grow up when they lay the rules on thick. You break those rules, you get thrown in jail. Here you get a couple lickings from a clipboard. That doesn't sound good.
Clipboard. But it was the 70s.
Yeah, true. I remember when I was in school, there was a teacher who hit kids.
Mm-hmm.
The early 80s.
Yeah, my fifth grade teacher definitely kept a paddle in the classroom.
I never got hit by a teacher.
Yeah, I don't think I did either, but I definitely know people who did.
Can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And then the teacher says to Brownie, he's like, wait till you see the rules they have in jail. You ain't going to like it one bit. Just you wait. Now you think you're going to think of me when you're in McAllister maximum security getting slapped around by some big shtehecty guy. I looked that word up and I couldn't find that.
Oh, really?
Huh. I don't know what that word meant.
But I like where when coach goes, get a licking from a clipboard, Irene goes, what do you know about licking, coach? Teacher just goes, Irene.
And then Brownie goes, oh, I'm glad you believe in me, coach. And then Bucky walks up with a garbage bag over his shoulder, and Brownie and the teacher goes, is that marijuana I smell in here? And Brownie goes, oh, no, that's cedar. What kind of Indian are you? You don't know the smell of cedar? And they all start doing the thing where they start wafting it towards themselves.
Right. Like they're burning sage or whatever.
Yeah. He goes, all right, you guys have a good summer and take care of yourself, Brownie, you little shit ass you. They all hop in the car to take off. And for some reason, Brownie doesn't want people slamming his car doors. Apparently that breaks the doors. Now they're driving down the road listening to Jailbreak by Thin Lizzy. And he's talking to Maximus, and Maximus is in the car. He's like, you really dropped the ball on this one. We could have been over the moon right now. And Maximus goes, well, why didn't you get us any? And Brawny goes, you said you were getting you acting all big. And Maximus goes, you know, the last time I recall, you were the only person that wasn't in school, Brawny. And then Brawny says, the last I remember, you had one job.
Good comeback.
Yeah. And then Bucky says that he thinks it's his favorite drug of all.
Mm.
And Irene says that he thinks he does it too much. And then they're sitting at the... Now they're sitting at the Sonics.
Yes. With the old style sign.
Yeah, definitely old school Sonics. And this GTO comes pulling up, and Brownie goes, hey, there's Fixico. I'll ask him. And Maximus is like, don't do that. And they're like, what, are you still mad at him? And he goes, no. I just think we can get it somewhere else. I know some people. Mabel goes, this is all your fault. And he goes, it's my fault. I'm just doing my own thing. And then Brownie just gets out of the car and goes up to Fixico's. And Brownie says, Fixico, my brother. And Fixico goes, hey, what's up, Brownie? And he goes, hey, is my cousin up there? Brownie goes, yeah. And Fixico goes, he's still mad at me? By the way, Fixico looks super cool, too.
Yes. Yeah, he's long, kind of stringy hair. He's got not quite a cowboy hat on, but almost that style.
Yeah.
Leather vest.
Yeah, he looks super cool. He goes, is he still mad at me? And Brownie goes, you know, Chabon acts white sometimes, hold grudges.
That's a good line. Also, can I agree with Bucky?
What's that?
It's my favorite drug.
Acid?
Just psychedelics in general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with Bucky on this one.
Okay, mine's probably pseudoephedrine.
And just in the pure form, before it gets cooked down into meth?
No, just in the cough syrup form.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Fixico goes, yeah, this has been a long time. And Brownie says, you got any window pane? And Fixico says he's trying to score some. And he's like, you know, give me some money and we'll meet up later and get it to you. So Brownie goes back to the car and he's like, yeah, he's going to get it for us. Give us some money. And Maximus is like, for what? And Brownie goes, you dropped the ball. Cough up the money. And Maximus is like, not for Fixico. Mabel kind of gives him this look like, come on. And he goes, okay, for Mabel. And he hands over the money. Mabel tells him he needs to stop frowning. He's going to start getting wrinkles. And then she goes, tell me what you told me yesterday. This seemed kind of out of place. I mean, I like what he said, but it seemed out of place for where they were and what they were doing. Mm. He goes, what? Maximus goes, what? And she goes, about the sunset. And he goes, oh, the golden hour? She's like, yeah. He goes, well, golden hour is kind of a function of the Earth's axial tilt, such that twice a day you get this soft light, and when the brightness of the natural light from the sky perfectly matches the light that we've made here on land, that's when you get your golden hour. And then Irene goes, you talk funny. And Mabel goes, I like it. Mm. And then Brownie says, go in.
I also like
that. That seemed out of place.
Yeah.
Teenagers in the back of the car talking about getting acid, and all of a sudden it's like, tell me about the golden hour again.
Yeah, I don't know. I could just see, like, if it was just the two of them and they were hanging out and, like...
Yeah, if it was just the two of them, but it wasn't.
Well, so like the day before, and Mabel was like, oh, that's a cool thing you said. You should share that with everybody else in the car. Also, when Maximus hands over the money, or agrees to hand over the money, Brownie goes, hear that, Mabel? All snagged up. I think that's our first snagging reference of the season so far.
Right, yeah.
You're getting some.
Yep. Now we're down by the river at a party. Mabel and Maximus are leaned up against the car smoking weed, and Maximus is looking across the way at Fixico. She goes, hey, don't be like that. We're in high school. People break up. Me and him dated like a month ago for like a week. And Maximus goes, I'm not mad at you and him. People say that, but that's not why. She goes, well, why then? He goes, I don't want to talk about it. She's like, well, I think you should or whatever. And he's like, it's just family shit. He's like, he said some stuff that's hard to take back. You know, he's always looked down on me. Well, not down, but sideways. He's being trained to do medicine. She goes, well, that's a good thing. What's wrong with that? Maximus is like, he's just always had things. Everything's just been paved for him. Like, he has his parents and I don't. And it's not that he has these things that makes me angry or mad. It's that he doesn't acknowledge that I don't have these things. So that's my thing. It's a lot of things to be saying. And now he has those medicine ways. People treat him like he's the goddamn pope. Should be worshipped, you know. And I don't know. When we were younger, we were just two shit asses running around barefoot. But you know, things change anyway. That's why we got into it. And he thought it was over some bullshit, but apparently I was holding some other stuff inside. And Mabel goes, I get it. He goes, you do? She goes, it don't make it right, but yeah, I get it.
It's a nice moment.
Yeah, I like that.
Some good, is it explication? Is that the word?
How the fuck would I know?
I'm going to call it explication. Some just like using dialogue to like explain something else that's happening.
I like to mansplain things. You ever heard of that term?
Yeah.
So what it means is
should bring Kelly down here and mansplain some stuff to her. Mansplain explication to her. I don't even know if that's a word or not. I hope it is.
Oh, I hope so. Brownie goes, and our lives start today. We can do whatever we want. And Maximus goes, where the hell did you go? And Brownie's like, just fucking stoned. Ever since I left school, just been welding and pipelining. I'm going to travel around to the Texas Panhandle in Kansas. So this is, a lot of this whole thing is just all at the river, just cut around with it. So it's hard to differentiate when you go from scene to scene because it's just all at this party.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, just like dozens of teenagers just running around, last day of school party.
Yeah. At one point, like a young guy walks up to Irene and hands her a glass of beer, and she takes it and goes, and just dumps it on the ground and looks at him, and he just kind of walks off. I was like,
I miss that.
None of that makes any sense to me.
Yeah, don't take drinks from people you don't know.
I guess.
Maybe an early lesson there.
Yeah, there could be acid in it. Right. So Bronny's apparently his big dream is to be a welder, doing some pipelining, going to travel around Texas and Kansas. And Irene goes, is that your dream, to be a welder? He goes, I figured if I save up enough money, I can start my own dojo and put these fucking skills to use. And he starts shadow boxing.
We get a little pre-indication of Brownie's future right there.
That's right. And he goes, what about you? And Irene says, I'm going to join AIM and storm the Capitol. So that's the American Indian movement.
Yes.
It's a grassroots movement that was founded in Minneapolis, Minnesota in July of 1968. Mm-hmm. She's going to join that and storm the Capitol. Storming the Capitol nowadays has a different connotation.
Yeah. So this had to be written after that. So,
That's true.
There had to be some acknowledgement of that in the writer's room, I assume.
Yeah.
AIM's biggest action was that they took over Alcatraz.
Oh, yeah.
For like months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Mabel's like, you're going to snag one of them northern boys with two braids. And then Irene goes, big braids. I don't know what she's talking about.
Nope, no idea.
And then Mabel says she wants to raise little Indian babies and be a mama. I'm better than hers. Irene says, you hear that, maxi pad? You better start getting busy. Maxi pad to Maximus. Maximus is like, shut up. He's like, I want kids. You know, I want a big family. What are you thinking? Like maybe 10 kids to Mabel? And then Bucky's like, I want to be a scientist. Yeah. And then they all kind of laugh at that. And then they're like, what do you want to be when you get older? To Maximus. And he goes, I don't know, maybe make movies or something. You guys remember that Rollerball movie where they showed what games would look like in the future? I was thinking like a stickball, like making a futuristic stickball movie. And then they all laugh at him. And Brownie goes, you ain't going to make no fucking movies, man. What are you going to do, go to Hollywood? You ain't never been west of the panhandle, man. Which is a crap thing to say to somebody. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about that, but you know how they're like, you ain't never been west of the panhandle. And all the grandkids went all the way to California.
Yeah, maybe the... You know, grandparents were just like, I'm proud of you. Like, even though I'm mad. And this is kind of what we got the last episode a little bit, too. Is right. Like, I'm mad at you, but I'm also kind of proud of you that you did this thing. Uh-huh. And that you came out of it safe.
Yeah. So that obviously makes Maximus annoyed. He's like, what's your guys' problem? Whenever somebody has a bigger dream than yours, you just tear them down. Like crabs in a bucket. Mm. Mabel goes, he's just joking. And then Irene goes, you could be the Indian Peckinpah.
Yes.
So I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up, and Sam Peckinpah is an author?
No.
American director. Motion picture director and screenwriter who's known for ultra-violent but often lyrical films that explored issues of morality and identity.
Yeah, big Western guy. Made a lot of Westerns.
Sam Peckinpah. Mm-hmm. Maximus goes, whatever. Now, Bucky is standing and talking to Fixco up against his car, and he's explaining quantum physics to him. Yes. It's a bunch of stuff that doesn't make any sense, so I'm not going to repeat it.
Okay.
but it's
S matrix theory, Heisenberg,
yeah,
particle physics,
superpositions.
Quantum superpositions.
Yeah.
Do you know what a quantum superposition is?
It's like better than a quantum position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like 20 times better than just a regular old position. So quantum superposition means that something can exist in two places at once.
Okay.
And it's only through the process of observation that it collapses up into a single space.
Okay. What about quantum chromodynamics?
Did he say that?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
You're going to find out next week. So now they're all standing in a circle, and Brownie's got the acid, and he's giving everybody some... He's like, stick out your tongue like Kiss. You know Kiss, the band Kiss. You ever heard of them?
Yeah. Oh, they released like one album, right? they were like indie popsters from the early 90s, I think.
No, nope, that's not them. You're thinking of a different group.
Okay, shit.
So they stick out their tongues, and he's putting the acid on everybody's tongue, and he goes to give it to Maximus. He's like, take it, don't be a bitch. And Maximus is like, I don't want your dirty finger in my mouth, which is a good, that's a fair thing to do.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So he takes it and puts it in his own mouth. Brownie goes, okay. And Maximus goes, how long are we waiting? And Brownie goes, till the creator takes you. Mm. So buckle in, young one. You're going for a ride. Now, Maximus and Bucky are down by the river's edge. Bucky goes, you've never done this before, have you? And Maximus goes, what are you talking about? And he goes, acid, you've never done it before. Maximus goes, how'd you know? Bucky goes, I could tell. I won't tell anybody. And then...
But the way this is shot, so like the background is all blurry.
Yeah.
So it's just like them two, and then everything else is fuzzy all around them.
Yeah.
It's a cool effect.
Like, are you feeling it? And Maximus goes, no, I'm kind of interested in the sky, though. Bucky goes, that means you're feeling it. Maximus goes, what do you mean? He goes, you don't realize you're feeling it, so you've already been feeling it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bucky says, I can't recall feeling any other way. It's like you've always been there. Just like the stars. We are the stars. And then Brownie comes up. He's like, you on the moon yet? Cut to a scene where everybody's around the car and Maximus is kind of coming out of the woods and he's taking a piss
over
the woods. Brownie's puking by the front of his car.
Yes.
And then Irene says, you shake it to Maximus. He's like, shake it more than twice. You're playing with yourself. Maximus is like, what if I am? Was that a thing to say back then? Because I seem to remember back when I was in high school, like, admitting that you... touched yourself was like, nobody did that. You were like, no, I get so much. I don't need to. That's how everybody was.
Right.
Nobody would admit that they touched themselves.
Yeah. I was just listening to Mark Maron today. He's interviewing Hannah Eichbinder, who played the young gal on Hacks. I don't know if you know any of this.
On what?
Hacks.
Hacks?
Yeah, do you know that show, Hacks?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, geez. All right, we'll talk about it afterwards. But anyways, Mark Maron's like, yeah, yeah, young Jewish kids always talked about masturbating.
Really? Jeez, I remember specifically, like, it was, like, this thing that was, like, it would be this form of embarrassment to admit that. It was always like, no, I get so much. Why would I need to do that?
Yeah.
Different world you live
in. Yeah, yeah.
I think the first time that I was ever exposed to somebody just repeatedly talking about it was Howard Stern.
He always talked about masturbation.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah. I guess it's normal.
Yeah, or at least normal in some circles.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless you're chronic about it. So Brownie's puking, and Bucky goes, what's it taste like? And Brownie goes, it tastes like your mother. Yeah.
That line never fails.
Never fails. And then Brownie basically asks Maximus to drive, and they're all wasted.
Oh, yeah.
Maximus is like, yeah, I'll drive. And so... Fixico comes walking up, and he's like, you guys leaving? And they're like, yeah, we're leaving. And Fixico says to Maximus, is like, are we good? And Maximus goes, why? Well, do we owe you money or for drugs or something? Fixico goes, no. I'm just checking in, you know? And he kind of takes his hat off, to show a sign of respect to him. He goes, Grandma's asking about you. She said to tell you that you're always welcome at the house. He goes, oh, so you're passing a message along. Well, I got a message for you. I don't need your help. I'm doing perfectly fine at school. You got that? Comprende? Fixico goes, don't act like that. Maximus is like, don't look at me with your holier-than-thou aura. And, like, the shot of Maximus had, like, this rainbow aura.
Yeah, like a the halo.
Lights. Yeah, there's like, lights coming from behind him, and it made it look like he was just messing with the his aura. I had like
At first I thought it was just like, you know, sometimes when you get a shot with like a street light or something, like it'll create that ring.
Right.
And then I realized, like, no, this is very purposeful. And the shot of him is so close. It's just like barely like catching his shoulders, and his face almost fills up the whole shot with that kind of halo behind him.
Very artistic.
Yeah, it was cool.
He goes, "Don't be looking at me with that holier than thou aura. You think you're some big old young elder? You're the opposite of a medicine man. You're a poison man." And then Fixco just says, "I love you, cousin." And then Maximus says, "Fuck you, man. Fuck you." And he gets in the car. And then it shows them driving away. Everyone's super tired. And they're riding along. And they're just sort of blathering on, talking about stuff. And I think the idea is to show like the drony conversation happening. And Maximus just barely being able to stay awake. His eyes are like rolling back. And
I like what Irene says here. So they're going to a boarding school that's run by probably like a Native American community or something like that. It doesn't seem like a BIA boarding school. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the Albuquerque one. So like where, you know, in 77 it got taken over by a community group of Native American pueblos. But Irene goes, "The whole concept of boarding school is so anti-Indian." So the idea that they're, like, even though it's run by Native Americans, like, the whole idea of the boarding school is fucked up.
Right. Like, they have to live by these rules.
Mm-hmm. I think this is, like, important.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Irene says, "It's not what you're thinking, though. Of course, stripping language and little kids is bad. But what I'm talking about is the social structure of it.
Oh, yeah.
Our societies are stronger when there are elders and children. It's about elders and children, that relationship."
Yeah.
And so, you know,
you're right.
Yeah, there's a bigger point being made, I think, there.
Yeah. And then Bucky starts talking about a book that he read. He says, "When you look out across the length of the open road, you are a person who deserves to pursue as many firsts as it takes to determine your self-worth."
That's a very confusing sentence.
So, yeah. I think that's where I was getting the idea that Maximus was starting to, like, just zone out because he was, like, the words were too much to comprehend.
And then is it Mabel who says, "I wish you weren't talking at all."
But then Maximus starts falling asleep. So then he's like, "Bucky, what happens next? Bucky, what happens after that?" But Bucky's sleeping now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's out. Yeah.
Right. And then this bright light comes hovering over the car, and Maximus is freaking out. And he stops the car, and he gets out, and everybody else is asleep. And he's like looking, and he sees like an alien. He's like, "What are you?" And the alien says, "I'm your relation." And Maximus is like, "What do you want?" And then the alien says, "I just wanted to come look at you." And then everybody wakes up, and they're all like, "Where the fuck are we at?" They get out of the car, and they're like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Did you guys see that?" And they're like, "We're in the middle of the road. See what?" He's like, "There's like an alien." And Brownie goes, "That window pane's hitting you too hard." And they're all like, "There's nothing there." And they're like, "It's the drugs." He's like, "No, I saw it. It talked to me." He goes, "What talk?" They're like, "What talk to you?" He's like, "You know, it did." And Mabel tries to, you know, put her arm around him. He's like, "Don't touch me." He's like, "I saw it." And they're all like, "There's nothing there, man." And he's mad because they don't believe him. And then Brownie goes, "Obviously somebody here made it to the fucking moon with the Martians and shit. Where's my keys at?" And then they all get back in the car and drive away. And that's the end of this episode. So do you think that's when he just cuts off ties with them?
That's probably, I don't know, but probably part of it. Yeah. I mean, going back to episode 2, it's like they never believed me.
Yeah.
And so, and he's already pretty socially isolated. Like, he had to stay at the boarding school for the summer. Everybody else was going home. He's pretty alienated. Feels like he doesn't have a place where everybody else has a place, and that probably just contributed to his feeling of alienation. No pun intended. Alien.
Asian.
Asian.
Oh. Alien nation.
But, so. We're
part of an alien nation.
Alien nation. It does make me wonder if, sort of going forward, so that Maximus's and Bear's stories are kind of parallel. I mean, Bear's had these experiences that everybody else has sort of, like, got on board with, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him and Jackie having that conversation, like, Jackie's like, "You're a fucking liar." He's like, I'm not. I saw the dear lady. She gave me a ride home. You're fucking stupid. I'm kind of wondering if, like, Bear's path kind of starts to take this parallel to Maximus as we go forward. I don't know.
Oh, that makes sense. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Which, who? And then there was the other boy, the one who got killed.
Oh, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. No, the one at that boarding school.
Coda.
Coda Littlebird. Mm-hmm. Because they said that Bear reminded him, or Dear Lady said that Bear reminded her of him. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Everything's connected, man.
Everything's connected.
This was a fun episode.
Yeah.
It did feel a little forced at times, like they were just like trying to wedge things into the script.
Yeah.
But overall, it's like the aunties, a little bit like the aunties going to the IHS conference, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's just create a space where we get to tell this other story too. Right. It's outside the main story, the quote unquote main story that we're telling.
Right.
Again, just like being free as an artist, it's like such a beautiful thing to watch.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You got anything on this one?
No, man. I enjoyed it. I kind of wish that I could see more of this story. Mm-hmm. I wish there was more of Maximus, like a longer term story with that kid specifically. Mm-hmm. He's very charismatic.
Yeah. And how did he get to where he is 40 years later?
50 years almost.
Almost 50 years later. Mm-hmm. I did see a thing where Sterling Harjo said that this is probably the most important thing he'll ever make.
I bet.
Which is, I don't know how you top this. I hope he finds a way, but I don't know how you would do it. All right. Hey, you've been listening to Wes and Mike Waste Time Watching TV, Season 3, Episode 23.
Yeah, let's waste more time next time.